What is going on, Clippers fans? It is me, Positive Chuck Mockler, coming at you solo today. William the Opinion Updike, who I'm usually joined by Monday through Friday, is unavoidably detained. We are Locked On Clippers. Like I said, make us your first listen during the week, 7 in the morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If something happens crazy on the weekends, we'll do an episode then too. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, all those good places. Today, we're going to be diving into this Clippers versus Nuggets preview, kind of an important game seeding-wise with that log jam between the 6 and the 9 seed. It's also Tuesday, which means we're answering your questions from Twitter on the aptly named Twitter Tuesday. You can send those in every Tuesday over into @LockedOnClips. We'll answer your question. We'll put you on the air. Maybe. It's a fun time. And then rounding it out, it's the halfway point of the season. We're going to take stock of the Clippers 20-21 record, as well as kind of dive into a great interview from Tamir Azerly over on Clutch Points with Lou Will. Everyone was feeling some feelings after he was in the building, at least, for Hawks vs. Clippers. But without further ado, let's get into this Clippers vs. Nuggets preview. Injury-wise, no Isaiah Hartenstein or Luke Kennard. The timeline for Hart, he said on TikTok, you know, last Friday, he was going to be ready in 5 days, but that, we've not seen him on the court yet. Luke Kennard, just hope he's doing okay. He's been in HASP for, I mean, around 11 days by the time you're listening to this, so we hope he's doing okay, you know, and feeling good. Speaking of health and safety protocols, no Will Barton for the Nuggets in this one. I'm just assuming they're going to start Jeff Green in his place. We'll see. I mentioned earlier up top that this is kind of an important game standing-wise. Clippers are only 1.5 games back of the 6th seed, which is right where the Nuggets are, so they got to take care of business in this one. Going into what we need to do well, which we do for every game preview, I'll tell you what, Big Zoo, this is your time to shine on Jokic. I think a lot of people who maybe weren't really excited about Zubats kind of saw what happened to this team's rebounding and overall defense when he was out with health and safety protocols. I'm not entirely sure how we slow down 26 points, 14 boards, and 7 assists on average for Nikola Jokic. But Zoo had some rest. He's going to bang around with Jokic. He's going to be physical. I think the biggest help that Zoo can get from other guys is going to be clogging up passing lanes. Nick Batum set the tone off for this from the jump last time out. And hopefully, whoever starts in the starting lineup, maybe it's Batum again with Mook, can do the same thing again. We're also probably going to see some Serge Ibaka on him at some point. We'll know pretty quickly how that's going to end up. Gotta imagine that, you know, Jokic is going to be really physical when he has Serge on him, so it's going to be interesting. Of course, this will be the Morris versus Jokic, you know, kind of tertiary battle after what happened with Markieff in Miami, who still hasn't played a game since that happened. But who knows what's going to happen with this. Maybe Morris gets a quick tech just for fun. I just hope nothing weird happens in this regard. Jokic has to be the focal point, and like I said, the biggest help is going to be from cutting off those passing lanes. Something that goes into cutting off passing lanes is generating turnovers. The Nuggets are really up and down when it comes to taking care of the ball, and the Clippers rank 11th in opponent turnover percentage, which is great. So there's room to get easy buckets in transition. We all know that the Clippers transition game is a terrifying roller coaster that usually just goes straight into the ground, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. The Nuggets had 15 turnovers versus the Thunder and only scored 99 points. So this is a real thing that could really help the Clippers get some theoretically easy buckets versus a kind of mid-level Nuggets defensive team. I'm really hoping the bench can generate some offense in this one. With no Will Barton, the Nuggets bench gets shorter, which, you know, in theory helps the Clippers bench offense. It's been a rough go on that, and defensively it's been great, all things considered. I'm really hoping that Terrence Mann can provide some kind of spark, especially after last game. He just wasn't efficient. We know Bledsoe has been great off the bench, but he's not necessarily the guy you want to rely on for a bench bucket. Serge could be a go-to guy for bench points, given how well he's been playing on that end recently, so that's going to be good. We got to look out for Austin Rivers on that bench. You know, he's always extra motivated to play the Clippers, and he shot the lights out in their last game from three. So, you know, at the very minimum, let's hope that the Clippers bench can keep up this kind of stellar defensive play and get a little help from, realistically, Terrence Mann is who I'm looking for in this one to come off the bench and provide a spark. What could go wrong in this one? You've heard us talk about this before. Second chance points. The Nuggets are not used to getting second chance points, mainly because they're a horrific offensive rebounding team. They are 29th in offensive rebounds per game and 28th in offensive rebound percentage overall. So if you don't know what that means, it means in terms of, you know, the opportunities prevented for offensive rebounds percentage-wise, they're pretty close to the bottom in the league. Now that the Clippers have two fully healthy actual centers, this shouldn't be as big of an issue as when we kind of had to run small ball lineups when, like, Serge was getting, you know, benched for Justice Winslow in these scenarios. But we've seen some kind of not engaged play on the boards from guys, so hopefully that vibe isn't there. The vibes, while hard to quantify, were immaculate in that Hawks game. Let's hope they can build that momentum. This is going to be a big box-out game from Zoo. I'm hoping that he can stuff the stat sheet when it comes to rebounds, but he's going to be the man mover out there, especially in the starting unit. We hope we see some activity from the wings and the point. When Serge is on the floor, he's got to be active on the glass. And I really hope, again, harping on Terrence Mann, some Terrence Mann flying rebounds would be fantastic to see in this one. And I'm also, what could go wrong? I'm not sure how much we can survive a bad shooting night from outside versus the Nuggets. We know what we need Marcus Morris to do, which is put up around 20 points at least. Let's hope so. And then get, you know, if there's not going to be another 20-point score, we probably need four or five other guys to be in double digits. But that might be difficult. Teams are just shooting 34% from three versus the Nuggets. And we've seen the clips get cold from beyond the arc. Really hoping Reggie can get back on track from deep. In his last five games, he's only shot over 33% from deep just one time. And as a team, if you look at that Hawks game, if you take away Amir's shooting versus the Hawks, the Clippers went 7 for 25 from deep. Would love to see kind of a more all-around shooting night versus the Nuggets. This could be a tough one. The Nuggets, over a 4-2 stretch during the past 2 weeks, they're fourth in defensive rating per cleaning the glass. They do kind of let teams eat a bit in the mid-range, which is where I think we could see Marcus Morris really do his thing. We all know that Mook loves the mid, at least when it comes to mid-range. So this one's going to be a battle. It's top heaviness-wise, if you look at stars, obviously the Denver Nuggets have the edge in this one. When you just look at top-end talent, first top-end talent is going to be out there. We know Marcus Morris can play as a scorer like he's a top-end talent, so we really need him to step it up in this one. I'm excited for this game. It's going to be a little terrifying, I think. I think we're going to see a lot of mid-range buckets. Hopefully from our team, the Nuggets do allow opponents to shoot 54% from two, which is 27th in the league. Yeah, let's hope guys show up engaged. Ty Lue mentioned, you know, they kind of had a talk at shoot-around the other day, kind of laying out the truths for this team. So let's hope they can keep that momentum going. I'm fascinated to see how this bench reacts against, you know, a bench lineup for the Nuggets that can be exploited on defense. Not a whole bunch of size down there. Really, really hope Serge can keep up his offensive play. All eyes are going to be on Zoo versus Jokic. Zoo gets criticized for not being able to stop people like Jokic and Giannis, and it's like, well, sure, nobody can. If we limit Jokic to, I mean, let's just call it, I don't know, 23-8-4, we got a pretty good chance in this one. That's still a fantastic stat line, but we'll see what happens with Ty Lue. We know he likes to throw different looks at guys. And here's hoping Marcus Morris can shoulder a bit of the load. He didn't have a hot start versus the Hawks due to foul trouble, so let's hope we don't need another, you know, 100% shooting night from Amir Coffey, who is getting some great buzz and who we're definitely going to talk about in Twitter Tuesday in terms of lineups. Let us know what you think is going to happen with Clippers versus Nuggets over at Locked On Clips. We will have a recap for you on Wednesday's episode as well. Before we get into Twitter Tuesday, we got to give a shout out to Bet Online. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Basketball season is in full hoop. You can track all the action over at Bet Online. Get the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs. You got MMA, you got NHL, you got baseball, whenever that comes back. And of course, you have the National American Football League. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the middle of the season as healthy as they can be. Head to the website or use your mobile device and sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON for that at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome to Twitter Tuesday. So happy to everyone sending these questions in. You can send these into @LockedOnClips. We'll answer them on the show. We'll answer them on Twitter. It's a good time either way. Let's get right into it. Robert Yamagata, hope you're doing good, Robert. He asks, instead of trades, what moves can the Clippers make to help improve the team? More pick and roll action with centers, separate Blood and Reggie on the court. Get healthy, that would help. I think we have to separate Blood and Reggie. We've talked about this before. When Reggie doesn't have it shot-wise, not only is the percentage off, but the decision-making is off. And you see, early long twos, you just see things that make you kind of, slap your forehead, which we need to eliminate. I think staggering Mook with the bench unit is a great idea, but the issue is the ball watching when he has the ball in his hands, which is difficult. When he's the main offensive driver, it really kind of does slow things down weirdly if he's not on with that bench unit. One great stat from Justin Russo, speaking of Eric Bledsoe, is that when Amir Coffey and Eric Bledsoe share the floor, which has been 131 minutes so far, the Clippers are plus 16 in those minutes. So more of that pairing. Amir Coffey's been a revelation. Robert Flom wrote a great article over at 213 Hoops about just how good he's been. He had a rough go of it in the summer league, but he bounced back in the best way possible. So shout out to Amir Coffey. Honestly, I think more Amir and Bledsoe. I think that's great. I think when we get fully healthy, that those two off the bench that's a problem for the other team. I'm also, this is just a fun idea. I think Mook and Amir seems like a fun idea defensively. They've only played 107 minutes together. Just Mook at the 5 and Amir at the 2 in small ball lineups just seems like just great switchability and stuff like that. Defense is pretty much fine as is, which actually is a great segue into a question from Yeti Moose. He wants to know who the most valuable member of our coaching staff is, other than Ty Lue, and I have to give a tip of the hat to Dan Craig. He's tasked with the defense, and this is a top 5 unit in the league in defensive rating, which when you take a step back and think about it, is absolutely insane. This Clippers team, all the turnover that's been going on with Hasp, with having our best defender out in Kawhi for the whole season, and our second best defender, PG, now sidelined for double-digit games. We're still fourth in defensive rating, so hats off to Dan Craig. He's done a great job this year. I really hope the Clippers can retain him because it seems like there's definitely a head coaching job for him potentially after the season is over based on what he's done this year. He's been fantastic. Whole coaching staff has been great. Brian Shaw, too. I think it's got to be Dan Craig. Stu Quinn with the over-under update. Hope the birthday was good, buddy. He said, halfway in and we're projected to get 40 wins. How are you guys feeling about getting an extra 5 wins in the second half? He says he's worried, but it feels like we're starting to come out of the Hasp and injury period, and he throws salt over his shoulder, which we should all do as you're listening to this. 40 wins? I wish. So we are getting kind of out of the Hasp and injury period, theoretically. Still have two pretty big guys injured, and Luke is still in health and safety protocols. Bumping out 5 wins, I think it's doable. There's some games. I'm going to talk about this in the next segment. There's some games you wish you had back right now for the Clippers. A game against the Blazers, any game against the Kings, really. But I think, a lot of this depends on if Kawhi comes back. I think that definitely will boost Stu's over-under update. But, 40 and 42 at the end of the year, I don't like it. I would much rather we win 45 games, of course, but it's going to be a bloodbath in this West. I think we got to get these wins, we just got to win the games we're supposed to win, if that makes sense. When we get guys healthy right now, at the end of January, I'm hoping we can end this month 500. There's still, 20 days left, which I think equates to around 25 games, actually, for the Clippers, if the NBA had their way with scheduling. But we just got to take care of the games we can. I don't know, Stu, if you're going to get to that. I hope it's a push. I believe last year was a push, but we're pulling for that. We're pulling for you to not lose money, Stu. Dominic C. asks, what do you think the reason is for our lack of ability to score in transition? He said, i.e. effort, age, scheme, or skill set. He said, I don't feel as if we play smart sometimes. Dominic, if I knew the answer, I'm sure Ty Lue would too. He's looked exasperated in pressers when he talks about this. He's talked about how even basic teams know how to run a three-man weave, and he's not the guy out there making decisions. So I think it kind of goes into that play-smart decision-making thing. I don't know if it's skill set. Amir Coffey's kind of our best guy in transition right now, it feels like. So I guess just try and find him on the fast break whenever he can. If not him, Terrence? I don't know. I don't think it's effort. They just can't figure it out. It's one of those Clippers bugaboos that feels like it's plagued the team even before Ty Lue was here, where it's just like, what the hell are we doing, guys? Hope they get it figured out. Seems like kind of the younger guys, you know, the hardship guys get it in when it comes to transition, but I don't know. It must be continuity. Maybe get back into shape. We'll see what happens. Drunken Trent asks, two-way players cannot play on playoff rosters. Which fully rostered player will have to make way for Amir Coffey getting a full contract to play in this year's playoff run? Or, do we see the team not planning to use Coffey in the postseason? I'll tell you what. I would be very bummed if they don't figure out a way to use Amir Coffey in the postseason. He's played great. He knows the system. He provides, you know, floor-raising abilities on both ends of the ball. But this is a rock and a hard place right now. Like, I mean, who do you eliminate? Maybe Justice Winslow. He's making $4 million a year. But everyone else is kind of needed, right? Like, I don't think it's going to be Preston, who, if you remember, the Clippers did draft this year. He's just been hurt. It probably should be. It depends on kind of the mentality going into the playoffs. The Clippers are limping into the playoffs. You know, that's a good process scenario. That's not a scenario where you think, oh, we're going to get everyone healthy, we're going to win the championship if we kind of lurch into the playoffs. So I think it's dependent on that. I am a little worried, though, you know, if they can't bring him in for the playoffs, if there's some kind of discussion to bring him on next year. The man just has to be a Clipper. Maybe there's a move to be made where we trade away Serge and then cut whoever we trade. I don't know. It's, like I said, it's a rock and a hard place. If you have any ideas roster-wise, send them into At Locked On Clips. Who should be gone so Amir Coffey can play in the postseason? I mean, all this is just solved if the Clippers can keep him. They absolutely should keep Amir Coffey. He's done everything and more to earn a contract this year. Rhyme Disciples, with a spicy question, says, does Reggie Jackson get traded? Kind of the, I believe, January 10th is when we've gotten the most tweets so far about Reggie Jackson being traded. He's had a rough stretch of games. We detailed it in the last episode. Since coming back from health and safety protocols, the shooting has not been there. I think he's taken 83 shots. He's scored 87 points. But we have to remember this about Reggie. He's coming back from health and safety protocols. He looks labored in his breathing, which means he's felt effects from COVID. This isn't, you know, just a guy ramping up normally. This is someone who also has asthma, who's dealing with COVID. I can't imagine what that's like to feel those effects. So I don't think he gets traded. I don't think there's enough of a quote-unquote real sample size to let him go. And looking at a fully healthy Clippers team, Reggie's a good piece for this fully healthy Clippers team. That being said, he makes $10 million this year, $11 million next year. I'm not really sure what point guards we get, you know, at a one-for-one trade, who's making that much, who's going to be effective. This does kind of open up the idea of packaging Serge and Reggie. That's just under 20 mil for those two guys, but we don't know when Hart's going to be back. Kind of need all the center depth because we've seen how bad it can go when we have to go justice at the small, when it comes to rebounding specifically. But I don't think Reggie gets traded. I don't think he should be traded yet. I don't think that's something we need to worry about. Gazpacho for all asks, should Amir be taking more threes? I'm not sure about that. There was a wild time for ACC where he was taking like 12 a game or something insane. So it's something the team is conscious of for sure. Right now he's taking 2.5 per game for the Clippers, hitting him at a 38% clip. So maybe bump that up to 3.5 on average and let's call it good. He's great in transition, which is more valuable to the Clippers right now, it feels like, but I'm not sure how many more. Maybe not, you know, not 5 a game on average, I guess. It'll remain to be seen what his skill set is kind of fully fleshed out at for the Clippers. He's such a great Swiss Army knife right now. I think he could learn a lot from Nick Batum. I'm hoping he kind of, you know, goes under Nick's wing in this regard as kind of Swiss Army knife do-it-all guy. That would be great. Just been loving the Samir Coffey season so far. Love all these questions you sent in. Thank you so much for sending these in. Helps us learn more about the Clippers and what they could do differently. Let us know if you think I answered any of these completely wrong over on at Locked On Clips. Let us know who maybe you would package in a trade with Reggie Jackson. We're not saying we should, but the people are wondering about it. Coming up, we're going to be talking the halfway point, just taking a step back to look at where this team is, as well as touching base on a fantastic piece from Tomer Azerly. All right, welcome to Shavings, named after our old Clippers podcast, which was called Shavings. It's a good time. We've officially made it through half of the season. The Clippers are 20-21. In all things considered, as I let out a giant sigh, that is fine by me. We're ninth in the conference. We're only 2.5 games out of the fifth seed. This is just a bloodbath. We have a 4-game cushion on the 10th seed, the Spurs and Blazers. We really hope they just kind of keep sucking. So I'm not super concerned. I say this on January 10th as opposed to maybe January, the last part of January. Not super concerned about dropping down to that 10th spot. And it's nice because, hey, the 5-6 spot is right there. You take a step back and look at this team. No Kawhi Leonard at all. Mook has missed 21 games. Paul George has missed 15 so far. We got to assume it's going to be higher than that. Batum has missed 19. Luke, Reggie, and Zoo all in health and safety protocols. Justice is in health and safety protocols now. We've had half the coaching staff in health and safety protocols. Yes, there's games they should have won. I'm not going to pretend like that. The Thunder game, the Kings at least once. Blazers when PG put up 42. I'm going to stop listing these off because they're just kind of making me upset. But this is an absurd season all around. This season, I don't know what you listening expected to happen in this season. I didn't think it was going to be this crazy with health and safety. One game under 500, that sucks. I'm really hoping that at the end of this month, we're still just one game under 500. Unless you're Stu Quinn, in which case you probably want a few more games higher. But I don't know, man. There's obviously wins you can point at. There's some effort stuff that's been difficult. These guys are playing their, third season in 2 years or some insane thing like that. It's more basketball than they've played, at a professional level back-to-back-to-back than ever before. We made it this far. Give yourself half a pat on the back. Give the other half at the end of the year, but playoffs are still very much in sight. There's rumblings that, kind of the same rumblings at the beginning of the season that Kawhi might return to da-da-da-da, all that good stuff. But I don't know, man. Like I keep saying it, but all things considered, I would take this in a heartbeat. When you nitpick it, when you do a daily show like we do, it gets a little, you get in the weeds a little bit, kind of getting down on some stuff. But bigger picture, hey, let's just be happy we're still in that playoff hunt right now. And onward we march through this hellish January schedule. Let me know over on Locked On Clips. Let Will and I know what you think. I know there's some people who think. I think some guy was tweeting at us. We should basically be like a 2 seed or something like that. But you look at how kind of stacked the top of the West is. You got, the Jazz are starting to kind of be a little fraudulent. But you got the Warriors and the Suns both at 30-9. Like this version of this Clippers team is not competing with those two. The Grizzlies have been. I don't want to say they've overachieved, but they've looked phenomenal. Mavericks are the Mavericks. Team across the hall, bad. Timberwolves got some key guys back. That might be a little tough, but I don't know. They're fighting. Everyone likes using this term striking distance as if we have something to strike with once we get close to that distance away from our opponent. But hey, 20-21, fourth best defense in the league. I don't know. Let's just keep on moving. There's a great Lou Will interview by Tomer over on Clutch Points. Go give that a read. I'm not going to spoil all of it at all, but there's just some good quotes in there. Lou Will said, "I wish we would have been a little more patient with the process of trying to build something special." Don't we all, Lou Will? He also had a very memorable Lou Will quote, which was, he has a daughter now. He said, "You raise girls to stay away from guys like you, and you raise your sons to be exactly like you." I'll leave that for the audience to unpack. That is a Lou Will quote, if I've ever heard a Lou Will quote. He also mentioned if a return made sense, he'd be down for it. Everyone listening to this would be okay with that. Just to see him in that, the Clippers, blue, white, and red. What's the order of these colors these days? Either way, it'll tug on your nostalgia strings a bit. I'm also recording this episode on the anniversary of his 50-piece versus Golden State. The Clippers had a 12-game losing streak. To the Warriors in their home before this. We love it. We love Lou Will. It was fantastic. That about wraps it up for me. Thank you for hanging out. Wednesday's episode, we're going to have a recap of Clippers versus Nuggets, of course. A What You Say Wednesday poll over on Locked On Clips. We do that every Wednesday. You can vote on a topic. It's a fun time. Will and I usually argue about it with each other. And, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler. William the Opinion Updike is usually here with me. You can find our podcasts anywhere you listen to them if you'd like to tell your coworkers where they could kill some windshield time on the way to work Monday through Friday. They can listen to our podcast over on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, Stitcher, Fun Pods, which only actually host pods that are fun. So you should go check us out on that. We really could use reviews right now on Spotify. You can give a little rating. Please, we would love a 5-star rating over on Spotify. Can't give a review, but if you screenshot it and write your own and tweet it at us, we will definitely give you a shout-out on the show. That wraps it up. Like we said, Los Angeles Clippers. Locked On, coming at you 5 days a week. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler, and we will talk to y'all tomorrow.